I want to talk today from the book of Philippians, way in the what I call the right-hand side of the Bible, the New Testament, and going to be reading book of Philippians, chapter 4, first 9 verses. And follow along with me if you want to. The scripture I'm going to be using, the Bible I'm using, it's a modern translation of the ancient Greek. It's kind of a conversational English that you would use when just talking about telling the stories. So it goes like this. Probably will be worded differently than what you have. Philippians 4, 1 through 9 goes like this. Paul writes these words, "My dear brothers and sisters, I love you and want to see you. You bring me joy and make me proud of you. So stand strong in the Lord, as I have told you. I ask Euodia and Syntyche to agree in the Lord. And I ask you, my faithful friend, to help these women. They serve with me in telling the good news, together with Clement and others who worked with me, whose names are written in the book of life. Be full of joy in the Lord always. I will say it again. Be full of joy." I like this in other translations. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice." I used to sing that at church camp a lot. Verse 5. "Let everyone see that you are gentle and kind. The Lord is coming soon. Do not worry about anything, but pray and ask God for everything you need, always giving thanks. And God's peace, which is so great we cannot understand it, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, think about the things that are good and worthy of praise. Think about the things that are true and honorable and right and pure and beautiful and respected. Do what you learned and received from me, what I told you and what you saw me do. And the God who gives peace will be with you." This is reading of God's Word for God's people. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, we've heard the call in each and our different ways. We've heard the call to come and be in worship today. And we who are here, we've answered that call and gathered to sing and and pray. To just be together as believers. We ask God your richest blessing on our worship of you today. As we come imperfect, as we come to the church here stained a lot by the world and our own human interests, we ask that you would unstop our spiritual ears. Purge from us all that is earthly and worldly that prevents us from hearing your word. Help us, O God, to worship you in truth and in spirit. I ask, O God, you'd help me to say what you would have me to say in spite of myself. And let our worship here today be to open up our hearts and our souls to your word so we'll be the people you want us to be. And we'll be the church this community needs us to be so that we can be fruitful. Build up your kingdom. We pray these things in Jesus' name for his sake. And we all say,
mm-hmm.
If you've been in the if you've been in Bible study much and or just in your own personal, I just realized if we were a barge out on the Ohio River, we'd be sitting low in the water on this side here, you know. So you all sit on this side. You need to go out and invite more people to come in and sit with you all. That if you're in your Bible study, you realize that that Philippians is one of Paul's happier books. He really likes the worshipers, the believers in the town of Philippi. He likes them and says there in the beginning that he loves them. And he wants to be with them. He just likes how they act, the ministries they are doing. He likes how they are working together with each other. He just likes who they are. And because of the joy he has in who these people are, he is able to just kind of write a book that or a letter that has a lot of undertones of joy and just good feelings. However, you know that as he's writing this book, he helps us understand that Yodia and Syntyche are not getting along. I don't know if I used to tell people, says if you want to see Christians bicker with each other, just watch how they try to control the church kitchen. And I don't know if Yodia and Syntyche had what kind of argument they had, and it's not mentioned. But the dynamic happens is that even as happy and joyful and appreciative of the ministry Paul sees in the Philippian church, that he has heard. He's heard from people who have come to help him, Epaphroditus maybe or some others, that Paul said, you know, he's in prison and said, you know, Paul, it's getting bad at the church of Philippi. You know, these two women, they're really having a bad conflict. And conflict's not good, is it? Conflict's not good. Well, I want to tell you a story. I don't know about you, that my son, Ben, is in the Army. I think I've mentioned this to you. And he has recently moved to the Lewis McChord base out in Tacoma, Washington, from South Korea, from his base in South Korea. And he got to Washington and found out he's got to go to Japan. He left this week on Wednesday for a month in Japan. Japan, you know. It's a little bit west of Columbus, out that way. And anyway, and I got to thinking about that way over there in the South Pacific and all that stuff. And I'm kind of a history buff, and I'm really not a nice guy about. I like to watch war movies, and I don't know if have you ever seen the series Band of Brothers. Some of you have. It's a series. It's got several episodes about this Easy Company. They were airborne that were dropped in on behind lines on Normandy on D-Day. And it's tons about them going through the European theater and on all their journeys. Well, they came out later on about a sequel to it about the war in the Pacific, called The Pacific. Anybody ever seen that? It is vicious. And because Ben was over there, I thought, well, I'll just watch this. You can see it on Netflix if you want to stream Netflix. And I watched that. And here's the, grab hold of what's going on, because this is where, if Charles Stanley was preaching here, he'd say, this is where he would say, now listen. I'm setting up this situation with Syntyche and Yodia here. That at the beginning of that movie, there's a young man, 17 years old, who's got the energy, the drive, and wants to go enlist. His dad is a doctor. And the boy's name is Eugene. And Eugene wants to go. And it's like that thing, if you read history, watch the movies about after the Pearl Harbor incident and the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, all kinds of people were running to enlist. There was a documentary I watched one time that said that so many people wanted to enlist. They wanted to go fight these Japanese who attacked America, and that in one community, four guys committed suicide because they could not go. People were that determined they wanted to go. So old Eugene wants to go. His dad is a doctor, though, and his dad, being his, raised him up. His dad checks him every once in a while. His dad knows Eugene's got a heart murmur. And his dad uses that to protect his son Eugene from going into the military. And he and his mom won't sign the papers for him to go in under 18. So the story goes on a little bit. Eugene turns 18 and he's just frustrated with his dad in finding this, that keep talking about this heart murmur. And he said, "Dad, I'm enlisting in the Marines tomorrow, and you can't stop me because I'm of age now." And here's the point. And see, the thing was, is that Eugene's dad was a doctor, a medic in World War I. And Eugene's dad has a heart-to-heart talk with him and says, "Son, you really don't want to be anxious about getting into what you're going to get into." Because he says, "I treated a lot of wounds." This is his dad talking. His dad says, "I treated a lot of wounds, but some of the worst wounds I ever saw were not wounds that had to deal with the flesh and the hurting and the flesh." He said, "I saw the war tear people's souls from them. They lost their souls in this conflict." Young Eugene hears it. He said, yeah, Dad, yada, 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 yada. But he still wants to go. He does go. And the story is really neat because this really happens. The story in the Pacific, the series follows actual people. And it's really pretty cool how it turns out. Spoiler alert, Eugene makes it through the war. On the process going through the war, he loses. So he changes. He was a nice guy, gentle of heart, gentle of mind, gentle in conversation. He was pretty nice guy, but as he got involved in this human-made conflict, he changed, incredibly changed. He changed. I want to use that because I want to talk about Yodia. And Syncyche and their conflict. This conflict, I always like to, when I teach Bible studies, I used to tell people when we're reading things, I said, read between the lines of what's going on in the pages here. If you read between the lines, you can tell that this disagreement, this conflict that these two women were having was a conflict that was affecting their ministry and was affecting the dynamics of the church in Philippi. This was so strong going on that Paul had to address it. Paul mentioned a lot of people in the scriptures: Barnabas, Lydia, Dorcas, Silas, John Mark, all kinds of people. Paul mentioned them by name a lot of times. The only time in the Bible that Yodia and Syntyche are mentioned is because of their conflict in the church. I'd just like to have that on your mind. Only time you're ever mentioned in the Bible is because you were having a fight with somebody. Paul had to address it. And I think part of the reason Paul needed to address this was because in a conflict like this, conflict changes you. It can overwhelm who you are as a person and as a church. And I say that because the church of Jesus Christ, made up of all of us believers, regardless of denomination, the church of Jesus Christ is in conflict. The United Methodist denomination is in conflict. And the thing happens before us is that as the church, as we Christians look to see who are we, what are we going to do, what about our ministries, how are we going to be in ministries when we're trying to figure out what we're wanting to be and be fruitful and be able to build up the kingdom of God, we're just having our life, our soul, our personality, we're having our spiritual strength sucked out of us. The Church of Jesus, United Methodism, we're trying to figure out what to do about political corruption. About what to do about these people coming across the borders and not doing it in the right way. We're all tore up. Christians are tore up about how to handle homosexual people, transgendered people, how we're going to handle husbands and wives who have no desire to stay true and faithful to their spouses. How are we going to deal with people who are stealing from their company every week? How do we deal with people? It's kind of like we wrestle as United Methodists and as the Church of Jesus Christ all over the world. We wrestle with the idea. We wrestle, how are we going to do? What do we need to do to have the power to truly influence the people's lives that are in this country? When an issue comes up, when a conflict comes up, when something has to be discussed, why is it not that people say, you know what, we should consult our spiritual leaders to see what they say. Let's watch the Christians to see what they do about such and such situation. But we don't do that because, like I said, the church itself is in conflict. I think what happens is that what I want to say is that there's two things I want us to say about this. And that is what Paul says in his writings there. He starts off with the people and he tells them, stand strong in the Lord. Amen? Stay with me. Don't fall asleep yet. Stand strong in the Lord. And then he tells Euodia and Syntyche to agree in the Lord. I say to you, agree in the Lord. It is going to be a church. Excuse me. It's going to be the commitment of a church. It's going to be your individual Christianity. It's going to be the commitment of a denomination or the Church of Jesus Christ all over the United States. It's going to be how much are we going to rely on the strength and the spiritual power, the spiritual clarity, the wisdom that comes to us through the Holy Spirit rather than our personal opinion. When I teach Bible study or a preacher like that, I've had someone come up and say, I say, preacher, I don't agree with what you're saying about such and such thing and what you're teaching in Bible study, yada, yada, yada. And I said, okay, well, let's sit and talk about it. And I tell people, says, I don't mind you disagreeing with me. I don't mind you having a different idea of where the Scripture is talking about. But one thing I tell people, one thing that I do not, I mean, you can disagree with me on Scripture, use Scripture to talk with me about the issue, but one thing that really doesn't carry a whole lot of weight with me is your personal opinion. Stand before God in His judgment throne and says, well, God, it's my opinion. God's going to not believe you. Not going to take that. Anyway, the idea, what I'm trying to say is, what Paul says is stand firm in the Lord. There's the Greek word here, stand firm, is translated in a way that means when an army is seeing an enemy come at it, and the enemy's coming at this army, and the command is stand firm. Stand firm when you see the enemy coming to it. Folks, it is difficult. It's getting more difficult to be a Christian in this country. An open Christian. It's getting kind of challenging. But stand firm, Paul would say. And he would say this in the midst of your conflict, in the midst of a conflict of the church. Stand firm on God. The other thing is this. He goes down, and I like how this said. Remember the old camp song. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. This the New Century says, be full of joy in the Lord always. I'll say it again, Paul says. I'll say it again. Be full of joy. Do you know you're going to heaven? You don't sound too excited. Do you know you're going to go to heaven?
Yes.
Jesus says, I use this, you've heard this in funeral meditations a lot. Jesus says, if I tell you to go, that I'm going to go prepare a place for you, then I'm going to come back and get you so that where I am, you can be there also. Jesus is preparing a place for you. Isn't that cool? And the idea is that be full of joy. You're a child of God. You're a child of God. Jesus died for you and for me. So therefore, the scripture says, Paul says, we're not enemies with God anymore. Are you perfect? No. But we're forgiven. And the dynamic is happening is that we're going to go to heaven. We've been saved. We're forgiven. Let's be full of joy. When you go to the grocery store, go full of joy in the Lord. Kind of hard to be happy when you see bread, it's $4 a loaf. But go and be happy and let this ambiance of spiritual joy come out of you as you're walking through the aisles. When you go to work, if you go to a restaurant, go with the joy of the Lord. And let people just be awed and inspired as they watch you and your crew of people when you eat, say a blessing before you eat. Go wherever you want. Paul is saying, be full of joy. I'm going to tell you a little story here, and I'm almost done. So don't fall asleep yet, because everybody see you not stand up for the hymn. The idea is that when I was a kid, summertime, think summertime. Back in the 60s. Man, that's a long time ago. Wow, I'm old. When I was a little kid, as would happen in the summertime, that my mom and dad would get us popsicles. And I always liked orange and banana. Man, I like those two popsicles. And I get a popsicle, and my brothers and I and friends, we'd be having our popsicles. It's hot, and hot up in Davis, where I grew up Blackwater Falls, hot up there was like 80 degrees. So we were sweating it out at 80 degrees. And anyway, we're sitting there, we're having fun. And as happens with little kids and popsicles, we're having fun, and all of a sudden, poof, part of it falls off the stick and lands on the sidewalk. Rats, you know, you think. And what a bummer. But anyway, let me go off and play. Well, like an hour, hour and a half later, something like that, you come back, just wander back, and you happen to be where you were, where you drop your popsicle. It's all melted, but there's this kind of gooey, gooey mess on the sidewalk, and it is covered with ants. It's covered with ants. Grab this imagery here. This is so cool. It's covered with ants. Those ants realize this is some good stuff. This is a great place to be. Sugary, syrupy, banana flavored syrup goop. Don't get in it though. Don't get in it. You'll get stuck. This is good stuff. What I want you to realize is that as Paul is telling the people of the Philippian church, and through the scriptures, he's telling all of us Christians here in 2024, he's telling us, be full of joy. And if your church is made up of people who genuinely are full of joy, you are going to be like syrupy, sugary, sweet stuff that people out there want to come and be a part of. If you act like you're all sucking on bottles of vinegar and you look like it, ain't nobody going to show up. But if you act like you're full of joy and, yes, I've been diagnosed with cancer. Pfft, big deal. I'm going to be okay. Yes, I had my eye ripped out. I had my eye cut out. But it's okay. I'm going to do fine. And when you look at your life and you see the struggles going on, but you can maintain the joy in the Lord that life is worth living, people will come to your